Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 5th chapter, verses 26 to 31. Verse 26. Shivamogacha avikriyam satyam anantamadyam guhasayam nishtalam apatarkyam managayanam vajasani ruktam nama mahudeva param varenyam. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord of changeless, unlimited supreme truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart, and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So before we start, I would like to say that today is Vasant Panchami, first day of spring, so we can all be very happy that now winter is over, at least theoretically. Hopefully it will start to be over from today. And Vishnu Priya Devi's appearance day, consort of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Saraswati Puja for all the students who want to do well, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's disappearance day today, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance day, Raghunandan Thakur's appearance day, and Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day. A very powerful day today. So we will beg for their blessings so we can speak, and all of us can beg for their mercy so we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam and make advancement in spiritual life, and please Srila Prabhupada. So what do you remember from chapter 4 of last week's class? It's only a few days ago. It was only Saturday, not too long ago. Okay, Gajendra pleased the Lord by his prayers, and the Lord gave him a forearm form and sent him to Vaikuntha. Anything else? Yes, he got purified by his prayers, so he didn't want anything material from the Lord. Okay? Anything else you remember? What point was Burijan making that you remember? Any main point? Yes. The goal of chanting Hare Krishna is not to make spiritual advancement, but to please Krishna. Very nice point. Okay, anything else? Yes.
There was a purport on Archana Padati.
Archana Padati purport.
Deity
worship. There was a what?
Commotion
in class.
Yeah, some Natajis were a bit despondent because they couldn't go on the road.
Oh, in the purport it said that?
And, gotcha.
In India. Oh, well. When Prabhupada came, he threw all the rules out because I was performing RT in India. Actually, it was all Matajis when Prabhupada was here. All the temples, it was ladies, the pujaris were ladies. Until the opening of Vrindavan. Except Mayapur, all the temples. Even after the opening? Oh, yeah, after. No, Vrindavan opening, then Bombay opening, it stopped. Yeah. Yeah, it was the Mataji who was dragged away by the police when they came to destroy the temple. Maithili, she was dragged away, trying to protect the deities. Dragged away by the hair. Yeah, I was pujari for 7 years in Calcutta, at pujari. You know, that's the way it was. That was the standard. When Prabhupada, so he didn't worry about it too much. He just did the needful. Ahai tukiya patihata. Yes. Yeah. And in Prabhupada's time, it was, you know, there were no problems in India. I was doing Mangal RT, 12 o'clock RT, evening RT, 7 hours, 4 o'clock RT, all the big RTs. Dressing the deities, everything. Well, it was all. We were training up the men, actually. I trained up. Yeah, in the West, it's still. I was training up all the brahmacharis to be pujaris in Calcutta when I was pujari. Yeah, it was. Anyway, no need to be despondent. What happened? How come it switched? When they opened the temples. But Calcutta was, they never opened, so there was still a Mataji she was doing until she died, actually, Sumana. Hyderabad, even after opening it, was still, Palika was Pujari. And it just changed through time. So that's what happened. I was sent out on Sankirtan and traveling Sankirtan, so in, all in Bombay, Maharashtra, and all these places after Pujari work, then I did that. And that was also, we trained up the brahmacharis how to do that too. It was quite nice. Anyway, Krishna provides, and now we cannot do all this. Actually, it's very physical, heavy physical work to be on the altar. It's very demanding, and now we can't do that. So we have intellectual service. More intellectual. No, whatever, you know, whatever Krishna wants, then that service, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada says if you're cleaning the temple or if you're offering the arti, it's the same. Even if you're an ant kissing the lotus feet of Krishna, it's the same as the pujari offering. For Krishna, it's the same. He doesn't discriminate with the ant and the pujari. Yes. Anything else you remember from the class on Saturday? Saturday, chapter 4. Okay, so we'll go on. Now, and chapter 5 was on that day too. What about chapter 5? Anything from chapter 5? Yes.
We've got two new manus.
Was
the brother of Tamasa,
Raivata. Fifth Manu, good.
And then from Chakshu came the sixth Manu called
Chakshusha Manu, okay.
And from either one of those two came, in their line came Vishnu Tattva.
Yes, one Vishnu Tattva came. Ajit, actually, always.
Ajit came in from the sixth
Ajita, Manu. From the sixth Manu.
And from the sixth came Vibhu.
Vibhu. Who? More incarnation also?
More.
So anyway, who is this Ajita? Do you know?
He's related to Anchetadip.
Yeah. What else?
He became
Korma Avatar. He's Korma Avatar. And I found the answer to Janamashtami's question about who chooses the Manus. I was reading ahead in chapter 14. It says in a verse that with every Manu an incarnation comes and the incarnation chooses the Manu. So that's who chooses the Manu. The incarnations of the Lord, they choose the Manus. We'll get to that in chapter 14, because I was reading ahead this week. And who knows when, but they choose. Before, how are they going to choose before? I don't know.
But they descend during the rain.
Yes, or sometimes before, yeah. Anyway, yeah, so they choose. They choose the Manus. And one interesting thing I found also was that in that section of the fifth chapter, the Lord created a planet for Lakshmi Devi. A new planet appeared, new spiritual planet. Actually, it was always there, but He just revealed it to our eyes. So Brahma and other demigods, they lost everything, and Lord Brahma has approached the Lord on Shvetadvip. He's told the demigods, yes, now it's time for the mode of goodness. And so we should try and take advantage of this time now. And they're going to pray now to the Lord at Shvetadvip. So we read the first verse. There are many Sanskrit words in this verse. So Prabhupada says in the purport, in the third paragraph, that all Vedic mantras are included in this verse. The first one, 26, verse 26 that we're reading. The first verse we're reading today. It's verse, we're in chapter 5, verse 26. So this verse, Prabhupada says, all Vedic mantras are included in this verse. He says this in the purport. So we're going to go through a few of these words here in the Sanskrit. The first word is avikriyam, unchangeable. Does anybody, so we'll try to remember verses that substantiate these different Sanskrit words. These are very important words in understanding the Supreme Lord, especially for us in this material world. So avikriyam, unchangeable. What's a verse that substantiates that from any other Gita or Bhagavatam or Ishopanishad or, yes? Toyam Shite. Avikaryo. Yes, if the particle is avikaryo, then the Lord must also be, because we're part of Him. Okay, avikaryo. Achintyoyam, what was that? Avyaktoyam, achintyoyam, avikaryo. That's chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. Avikaryo, yamuchate. Okay? So the next one, satyam. Satyam. So what does this mean here? It says the eternal supreme truth. Actually, this word has so many meanings. I was ahead in the 10th canto, the prayers of the demigods. There's one prayer, they start with satyam, and 8 times they say satyam in that prayer. Satyasya, satyam, this satyam, that satyam. So truth, what is another, was another verse for satyam? Very famous verse. 10th canto, yeah, that's 10:26 also. 10:20, prayers of the demigods, yes? Tattvamasi, acha. You are that. Oh, tattvam, acha. You are the truth. Okay. There's one very famous, yes?
I was thinking of
Bhattvam 10:26. 10:26, yeah. Satyavratam, saraparam, yes, trisatyam. So many satyams. Satyasya, yes. So remember the first verse of Bhagavatam, satyam param ti mahi. Satyam param ti, I meditate on satyam param. He is the absolute truth. So this satyam has so many meanings. One is that he is the reality, he is the truth, and he is all good. Whatever he does is all good. So these are some of the meanings of satyam. Okay, how about anantam? Anantam. Yes, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. And then we take care of Adyam also. Anantam Adyam. Advaitam, Achutam. I'll sing that verse. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Purana, Purisham, Navayavanam, Cha, Vedeshitulabhamadulabhamatmabhakta, Govinda Majipurishantavaham Bhajami. So he's Achyutam, Advaitam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, original. Govinda Majipurisham, Tamaham Bhajami. So Adyam, another one for Adyam. Adyam. Purani, acha. Okay, Adyam. I thought of one, now I forgot it. Because of that. Told me that verse. Oh, yes, so Namashe Purusham Twadyam, Queen Kunti. First verse, Namashe Purusham Twadyam, Isharam Prakite Param. So there's Alakshyam Sarabhutanam. Okay, next word is Guha Shayam. He is in everyone's heart. Guha Shayam. Yes. Sarasacham hiri sannivishto. Yes. Ishara sarabhutanam. Okay, these are the most famous verses of Guhashayam. Nishkalam, without any decrease in potency. Nachimatstani bhutani. Vashime yoga misharam. Okay, Gita, 9th chapter. Another one. Om Purnam. Adaha Purnamidam Pur Natasikaryam Karanam Chavidyate Tat Samascha Pyadikas Charishate. Does that say he's no decrease?
He has no changes.
Means he doesn't have any work. He has no work and nobody is equal to him. Yes. Avibhaktam Chabuteshu Vibhaktam. So he's not divisible. He appears divided, but he's not divided. He's situated as one. Okay. Apatarkyam, inconceivable, not within jurisdiction of material arguments. Apatakyam. Sukshmadvad. Bahirantascha Bhutanam. Again, 13th chapter of Gita. Okay. I was thinking, Tarko Pratishta Shutayo Vibhina. That you cannot understand the Lord through arguments. This is Mahabharata. Tarko Pratishta. Okay, we'll just do, I think, one more here. Mana Agrayanam, which means more quick than the mind. Yes. Oh yeah, that's in the purport. Ane Jarekam Manaso Javiyo. And also from Brahma Samhita. Pantashtukoti Sharava Sarasam Pramyo Vayoratapi Manaso Munipungavanam so piastiya pabada sindhya vichin tadatvi govindamati purushantamaham ajami. So these are qualities of the Lord. He cannot be caught by the mind. But sometimes there is one place where these qualities can be overcome, he can be defeated in these qualities. Although he's quicker than the mind, he can be caught. Yes. Gokul, yes. Gokul Vrindavan. Yashoda can catch him. Although all the philosophers have been trying for millions of years, millions of births, trying to catch him or trying to get a glimpse of the tip of the toe of his lotus feet. Impossible. But Yashoda, she can catch him. And not only she can catch him, she can bind him. Although he's so big, you cannot understand. He's everything, but she can tie a rope around him. So this is Krishna, indescribable. And I was reading, it was a commentary on the 10th chapter of 10th canto. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were liberated by Lord Krishna from the trees. So they came out, they were offering beautiful prayers to Krishna. So they were very happy because they were liberated, but Krishna, he was still tied up to the mortar. He was not liberated like they were. So he was still tied up by his mother. So even though he could liberate them, he could not get liberated from the ropes of Yashoda until he was untied by Nanda Maharaj. So this is inconceivable. This is the Lord who is liberating everyone, but he himself can't get liberated. So, but he likes that. He likes that. So paragraph 1 near the end, before the quote. The Lord is supreme because no one can evaluate him by mental speculation or juggling of words. The Lord can travel more quickly than the mind. In the Shruti Mantras of Ishapanishad, it is said, Ane jare kam manasa javiyo naina deva yuvam purvamarsha tatavata nyan atyetitishta tasmin apomatarishva tatati. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. Powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. Thus, the supreme is never to be equaled by the subordinate living entity. So there we can have your verse, Natasamascha Bhyadikascharishti. He's not equal. Asamordavam. So we'll go to paragraph 3 of the purport. All the Vedic mantras or Shruti mantras are included in this verse spoken by Lord Brahma. For Brahma and his followers, the Brahma Sampradaya, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Parampara system. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. And we'll go to the end of the purport, last paragraph. We belong to the disciplic succession of Brahma, and therefore we are known as the Brahma Sampradaya. As the demigods follow Lord Brahma to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also have to follow the authorities of the Parampara system to understand the Lord. So now, just like the demigods, we are following Lord Brahma and understanding the Lord. He is speaking very wonderful Sanskrit verses, Vedic mantras, for our understanding in prayers to the Lord. So there's a commentary on this verse by Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami. Okay, now this is, while you're listening to this commentary by Sridhar Swami, it's good to look at the Sanskrit, because he's going to show how there's a succession here of the Sanskrit, that each word that follows one after the other It tells why. It explains the word before. So we're starting with Satyam, actually. What's that? Varenyam. The best. Oh, we're starting with... I don't have Varenyam here. He starts with Varenyam. Okay. Commentary starts with Varenyam. You didn't give me that. Oh, I see. You gave me the translation. You can give me the Sanskrit. Okay. Varenyam, O Deva, obeisances to you who are the best. Okay, now why are you the best? Because you are Satyam, absolute truth. Why so? Why are you Satyam? Because you are Avikriyam, changeless. Why so? Why are you changeless? Because Anantamadyam, you're beginningless. For those who have beginning, there are changes, like aging. Moreover, you are Guhashayam, inside everyone's heart. How is this so? Because you're Nishkalam, unbound and unconditioned. How is that possible? Apratarkyam, this is beyond material arguments. And how is that so? How is it beyond material arguments? Because you are Manograyanam, faster than the mind. The mind cannot make arguments about you. Always ahead of the furthest reach of the mind. This is confirmed in the Shruti, and then he quotes the same verse of Isho that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport. Also the Shrutis say, you are unexplainable in words, being non-material, yad vachana bhuditam yena vaga bhudate. Being unattainable, for the mind and words you are beyond material arguments. You are wishable for all, being the cause of their causes. So now we have a breakdown by Jiva Goswami of the verses from 26 to 30. Verse 26 glorifies Brahman. Verse 27 and 28 glorifies Paramatma. And verses 29 and 30 glorify Bhagavan. Bhagavan, yes. So this is Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse. And he's breaking down all the verses for us into categories so we can understand. So we just heard about Brahman. Now we're going to hear about Paramatma. Verse 27.
Vipaschitam pranamanati atmanam artendriya pasam anijam avranam chayatapayachana gritapaksha tam aksharam kam chiyugam vajamahe.
So vipaschitam, omniscient. What is a verse for omniscient? The Lord knows everything. Vipaschitam. Nobody knows. We are not omniscient. In Sanskrit, yeah. Vipaschitam. Or if you know the English. Sarvagya. Okay. Sarvagya. That's a word. And there's a verse in 7th chapter of Gita. Vedaham. Is that it? Samatitani vartamanani charjuna. I know everything, but me, no one knows. I know everything. Vipaschitam. Another word, sarvagya is one word. Another word, abhigya. Abhigya from first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, prana, mano, tiatmanam. That means how the living force, this is what he knows. Artendriya bhasam anidram. Okay, anidram means he doesn't sleep. Any verse for the Lord doesn't sleep? Sleepless? Fourth dimension. Also, yoga nidra. Tuyastita. Yes, beyond the three levels of consciousness. Swapna, Jagarana, and Susupti. Susupti. Okay, there must be a verse somewhere in Brahma Samhita about Yoga Nidram or something. Then Avranam. Avranam without a material body. Ishopanishad. Number 8. Okay. Aksharam. Infallible. Infallible. Yeah, that's the verse I'm thinking. 15th chapter. Vyakta, avyakta. Is it vakta? Akshara, akshara. Vyangshara and akshara. Uttama. Uttama purush.
Come, all pervading. Come. Come. Yes, it also means all pervading. I think it means here all pervading, like the sky, all pervading. Yeah. Come, all pervading, Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate, Vasudevaya, Vasudevaya. Vasudeva means all pervading. Triyugam. Triyugam means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, did I read this verse? I think I did, yes. I didn't read it. Okay, let's hear the English. That might help. The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and indirectly knows how everything, including the living force, mind, and intelligence, is working under His control. He is the illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body, subject to the reactions of previous activities, and He is free from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education. I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences in three yugas, Satya, Chaita, and Dwarpa. Okay, so this is our Lord purport in a verse, verse 27. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this way. Janaryasa yatanvaya itaratas chaute svabhigya svara. The Lord is the origin of all emanations, and He directly and indirectly knows everything about all the activities within His creation. So how does He directly and indirectly know everything? How does He directly know everything? Yes, Jamashtami. As super soul, okay, it's direct. Indirect?
Through His
energies, okay, good. Therefore, the Lord is addressed here as Vipashchitam, one who is full of all knowledge or who knows everything. The Lord is the Supreme Soul, and He knows everything about the living entities and their senses. Okay, Abhigya. The word Anidram, meaning always awake and free from ignorance, is very important in this verse. It's stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. It is the Lord who gives intelligence to everyone and who causes everyone to forget. There are millions and millions of living entities, and the Lord gives them directions. Therefore, He has no time to sleep. He's very busy. He has millions of directions to give, so He cannot sleep. Billions and trillions, actually, if you count all the universes and besides this one. He has so many directions. He has to tell the birds where to go and everything. Actually, there was one, Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Juhu Bombay, and Lokanath Maharaj was asking Srila Prabhupada, how is it the birds, they fly so nicely in formation like this? How can they do that? And Prabhupada said, they're not less intelligent like you. We can't cooperate like that, like the birds do. Actually, the birds, they cooperate. Someone told me that if the first bird gets tired, then he comes back and then another one goes ahead. And the ones in back, they're cheering him on, actually, as they go. They're all cheering the one who's in front. So, yes, we have to learn from the birds how to cooperate. So, yes, he's telling the insects, he's telling everyone how to find their food, how to live. The Lord is a witness of everything. He sees what we are doing at every moment. The Lord is not covered by a body resulting from karma. Our bodies are formed as a result of our past deeds, karmana davinitrena. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not have a material body, and therefore He has no avidya, ignorance. He does not sleep, but is always alert and awake. Supreme Lord is described as Triyuga because although He appeared variously in Satyuga, Tretayuga, and Dwaparayuga, when He appeared in Kali Yuga, He never declared Himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Varanam Tishakasham Sangha Pangasta Parsharam. The Lord appears in Kali Yuga as a devotee. So although He is Krishna, He chants the Hare Krishna mantra like a devotee. Still, Srimad Bhagavatam recommends Yagyai Sankirtana Paryaya Janti Hisumetasha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose complexion is not black like that of Krishna, but is golden, Tvisha Krishnam, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is accompanied by associates like Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Shivas. Those who are sufficiently intelligent worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing Sankirtan Yajna. In this incarnation, the Supreme Lord declares himself not to be the Supreme Lord, and therefore he is known as Triyuga. So one reason why he's called Triyuga is because he's declaring himself not to be the Supreme Lord. Is there any other reason why he's called Triyuga? That's the only reason. He doesn't declare himself as the Lord. Adipurush? He has three pairs of opulences. Okay? Is that a reason why he...
Triyuga.
Oh, I see. Triyuga, three pairs of opulences. Okay. Yes, Madhavan Puri. Chana avatar, yes. Chana kalo. Yeah, that's, I have that verse here. It's from 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse 38, Prahlad Maharaj. Itam nitiya vishideva chasavatarai lokam vipa vayasiham si jagat patipam taramam mahapurushapa si yuganuvittam chana kalo yarabhavas chiyuga tasatvam. So in the age of Kali, you do not assert yourself as a Supreme Lord. So you appear in three yugas. Okay, now verse 28. We have a very nice picture here drawn. This is the last one by Bhagavat Mataji. And this is our mental wheel. This is the mental wheel of our material body. And we'll read the Sanskrit. Ajasya chakram tvajayer yamanam manomayam panchadasaramashya jinabhivedyut shalamastanemi yadakshamahusamitam dapadye. So you can look at the picture. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. So this is the material body here. The 10 senses, 5 for working, 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. So those spokes are the 10 senses and the 5 life airs. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center of activities. So you see, right, holding the spokes in the middle, that's the 3 modes of nature. Blue is for ignorance, yellow for goodness, and orange for passion. The 3 modes. The 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. So around the rim, we have all those different 8 elements. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul and Ultimate Truth. We offer a respectful obeisances unto him. So in the middle is the Super Soul, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is this wheel? This is our body. Prahlad Maharaj also compares time to a wheel. He says, I'm being crushed by the wheel of time. But actually, it's our body. And it's being, what is it being moved by? Remember the verse that I just read? Material energy is moving the wheel. Uh-huh. Okay. Acha. Yeah, that's why I brought this to refresh our memory. We'll read this a little bit later on so we remember 41 and 42. I brought these pictures to revive our memory of 41 and 42, 7:15. I'll read the purport. The cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Parayam mitastanyam pakitiriti me param jivabhuta mahabaho yayedam tayate jagat. The entire world is going on because the living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is utilizing the material energy. Under the clutches of material energy, Jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the wheel is also the wheel of birth and death. Birth and death. Cycle of repeated birth and death. This is being described in this particular mental wheel here of the material body. Central point is the supersoul. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, Ishara Sarabhutanam Hidesha Janatishtati Paman Sarabhutani Nchadatani Maya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So when we think of this verse, the machine, what is the machine made of the material energy? Yes, our bodies. So here we can analyze further the machine. This is how the machine is working, with the modes are there inside, and then all our senses and life airs, and then the elements or the rim, and is pushed by material energy. And super soul is in the middle, where it's going around super soul. So if you want to analyze the machine that we are in right now, this machine, you can remember this wheel, this mental wheel. Material body of a living entity is a result of the conditioned soul's activities, and because the supporter is the super soul is the true reality. Every one of us, therefore, should offer respectful obeisances to this central reality. One should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. That is the instruction given here by Lord Brahma. So we're in the body. So how often does our consciousness go to the different spokes, and how often is it in the center actually of where it should be? How often does our mind go to the center of this wheel, and how often does it go outside, externally? Yes. Yes. Top is dharma and bottom is adharma. Yes. Should have brought that picture too. That would have been helpful. Let's see if I have that. Yes, I have those. I have the translation here, 41 and 42. Transcendentalists, this is 7:15:41. Transcendentalists who are advanced in knowledge compare the body, which is made by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to a chariot. So here we have a chariot. We have a bigger picture. The senses are like the horses. The mind, the master of the senses, is like the reins. The objects of the senses are the destinations. Intelligence is the chariot driver. And consciousness, which spreads throughout the body, is the cause of bondage in this material world. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheel. So the airs are the same. They're still the spokes. The top and bottom of the wheel are religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept is the owner of the chariot. Vedic mantra pranava is the bow. The pure living entity is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. So here we have our chariot again, and the bow and the arrow, and our target, Krishna's lotus feet. To remind you, so you don't forget. And Prabhupada says in the purport, he takes the arrow of his purified life with the help of the bow, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he throws himself toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 7:15:42 purport I just read. I read 41 and 42 verses, and then I read a bit of the end of 42 purport. We read those last month, end of this, or beginning of this month. End of 7th canto. Beautiful verses for the end of 7th canto. So while we're chanting Hare Krishna, we can remember that we're throwing ourselves to the lotus feet of Krishna when we chant. So verse 29.
Ya ekavarnam tamasa parantat alokamavyaktamanantaparam asam chakara pasupanamenam upasate yoga ratena tiram.
Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, and therefore he is Ekavarna, Omkara, Pranava. Because the Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, he is not visible to material eyes. Nonetheless, he is not separated from us by time or space, but is present everywhere. Seated on his carrier, Garuda, he is worshipped by means of mystical yogic power, by those who have achieved freedom from agitation. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto him. So the mental wheel can be stopped by meditation of on the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. That's also in 7th canto, 7th chapter. The three stages of intelligence, that is Jagarana, waking, Swapna, dreaming, and Susupti, they can all be stopped by yoga or devotional service. Prava, this is 7.7.28, Pravaho Paramodhiya, we can stop the flow of our threefold intelligence and burn the seed of material life, Bija Nirharanam, simply by yoga or devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So this stops the flow, or stops the wheel, that is, that we're the wheel of birth and death. So one word actually fascinated me in the Sanskrit here, and that is ekavarnam. Here it is translated as omkara. In the purport, it is also translated as goodness. But also there's other meanings for this word. I was just thinking how it's also applicable to the Lord. Here it's described that he's omkara, he's Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay, so he's ekavarna, he's one syllable, om, or Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What else does anybody know? Some other meanings for varna? Yes.
Color.
Yes, ekavarna. And I was reading somewhere, I can't remember where, when Krishna comes, all of his incarnations merge into him, and they all become one color, ekavarna also. So yellow and red and green and black, they all merge into Krishna and become sham, sham color. So another meaning of varna, caste. Krishna is also one caste, the Krishna's caste. He's above everything else. So Lord Chaitanya is also described, he's also of the same varna as Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna are of the same varna. And the varna, they're above varnashram, of course. So in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, because the Lord is situated beyond the three modes of material nature, he is unseen by those who are dominated by these three modes. One must therefore become dhira, or undisturbed by the modes of material nature. Process of yoga may be practiced by one who is free from the agitation of these modes. Therefore, yoga is defined in this way, yoga indriya samyama. As previously explained, we are disturbed by the indriyas, or in the purport of this verse, or senses. Moreover, we're agitated by the three modes of material nature. So here we have in this wheel, the senses, we're disturbed by the spokes, we're agitated by the inside, the modes. And where are we? We're in the middle, but actually our consciousness, wherever our consciousness is, that's where we are. So if the senses, if we break our leg, then if our consciousness is on our leg, then there we are, going around in the wheel again. So wherever our consciousness is fixed, that's where we are. If it's fixed on Supersoul in the middle, then we're undisturbed by the wheel that's going round and round. There's so many. As previously explained, we are disturbed by the indriyas or senses, and we're agitated by the three modes of material nature, which are imposed upon us by the external energy. In conditional life, the living entity moves turbulently in the whirlpool of birth and death. So here's one analogy is that we're stuck on this wheel here, and the wheel is constantly moving. And if our consciousness is trying to keep up with the movements of the material nature, then we're going to be agitated. So another analogy is a whirlpool that we're in. If we go into material life, then we're sucked into a whirlpool that's constantly going around. So this wheel, this also could be a whirlpool going around of birth and death. But when one is situated on the transcendental platform of Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead who sits on the back of Garuda. Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord. So Brijan Prabhu says, there's no separation between us and the Lord. He can immediately appear to us. We're right with him. He's in our heart. How come we don't see him? Because we're attached to the wheel. We're attached to so many things. We're attached to our conception of him. So what are some verses that describe how the Lord is, at what level the Lord is revealed to us? We want revelation of the Lord. What is that called, that consciousness? Yes. Yes, Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yariyate Tatcha Pumana Pavrita. Back in fourth canto, we had a nice verse by Lord Shiva. Vasudeva consciousness, that is where Krishna is born. Krishna is born in Vasudeva, Shuddhasattva. Okay, he is revealed. Where else is the Lord revealed? There are two more verses to describe how, where, and when, or how can we have the Lord be revealed to us? Yes. Bhakti amam vijanati yavan jasasvitatvadaha. Two more verses. I think they're from the Puranas, the ones I'm thinking of. One's from an Upanishad, I think, and one's from a Purana. Desham Sutta, yes, Gita Upanishad. Yes. Yes. Mukta Sangha Sajayate. Vidite Hridaya Grantis. Chidyante Sarvasangshaya. Shyanti Sarvakarmani. Isha Eva Marishve. That's the first canto of Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll give you some more verses. Ata Shri Krishna Amari, Nabhaved. Gayamindriya Sevan Mukhihi Jivaro Swayameva Suratira. By chanting Hare Krishna, beginning with chanting, the Lord is revealed by the tongue. Another one, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yata Deve Tataguru Saite Katita Hyata Prakashante Yatmana. If you have complete faith in the Lord and the spiritual master, the Lord reveals himself to you. Okay? And there's another one in the first canto, which I have here. It's about Vyasadeva's vision. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihitemale apashyat purusham purnam. He saw the Lord by fixing his mind, manasi, in bhakti yogena. There's a commentary on this verse 29 by Sridhar Swami. So he takes the Sanskrit word here, upa suparnam, on the back of Garuda, and he translates it as that there's two birds in one tree. So we're next to Garuda in the tree. I mean, Suparna means a bird, actually. Not, it means Garuda. It also can mean, what does it mean, Adi Purush? Suparnam.
A bird.
It can also mean a bird. Yeah, it's also a name for Garuda. Two birds in the same tree, or it means one who mounts Garuda to go and protect his devotees. So it can mean Krishna who is on Garuda, or it can mean the Jiva who is with another bird in the same tree.
Super soul who is next to Jiva.
Okay, it can mean super soul. So staying in the same body, one who mounts Garuda to go and protect his devotees. So here's the explanation. Then someone may say, he's staying in the same body, absorbed in activities like protecting devotees. He must be the same as Jiva. To this, Lord Brahma says, Ekavarnam. Here's another meaning of Ekavarnam. He is the embodiment of exclusive knowledge. And he says, Tamasaprakrite Param, beyond the darkness of matter. He is Alokam, unseen. He is Avyaktam, changeless. He is Anantaparam, supreme truth, Brahman, uncovered by space or time. Because he has infallible nature, he is not equal to Jiva. One of the birds eats the fruits, the other does not eat and only observes. The Shrutis show the difference. To such a Lord, whom the deer is worshipped by the chariot of yoga or sadhana for achieving him, I bow down. And so this is a commentary by Sridhar Swami. Very nice commentary. Verse 30. Yayasya kasya kittitattimayam yayajano muhyati vedanatam tanirjitatmatmagranam paresham namamabhurteshya samam charantam. No one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed toward all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto him. So this is, Prabhupada talks about a dream that will never be fulfilled in the purport. What is that dream that will never be fulfilled? Yes? Desire to become Krishna? Anything else?
Owner.
What is that dream? What does everybody dream in this material world? Happy, yes. To be happy. This is a dream that will never be fulfilled, to be happy in this world. Why not? Why will it never be fulfilled? We are so pessimistic. Yes. Because it's a reflection, Dhamana Krishna.
Everyone tries to be happy, so actually they fight. But
there's a big competition. As Bhuri Jam Prabhu says, 6 billion other people are trying for the same thing you are. So who's going to get it? Yes.
Can't be happy
separately from Krishna. Yes, somebody was, I think Prashanta was telling me, at Bhuri Jam's last class, he was talking about all these self-help, all these seminars for trying to be successful, and out of all the people who go to those seminars, 1% may become actually successful, and 99% will remain as they are and remain in their own same positions. So who will be happy, actually? Material dream. Yes. Adi Purusha, you have anything else to add?
Oh, it's a dream.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's a dream, then
it's temporary.
Insubstantial, yes. It's a dream. Just in the word itself. And they say there's the American dream, that you go there, you get rich, and you be happy. But it doesn't work out, just as our Prabhu, who was here before, who gave that seminar in compassion, I forgot his name. Lila Shuka, yes. He was saying these people, they win the lotteries, and that's when their life is destroyed, after they win the lottery. People, everyone thinks, oh, I'll be so happy if I win. Then they win, and what happens? Yes. Which verse is that?
291. And there he compares that relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working.
It's like a dreamer seeing his own body working. So, this is a dream. We'll read the purport 4 lines down. The external energy of Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all conditioned souls what appears to be an opportunity to be happy within this material world. Appears to be an opportunity. Golden opportunity. But that is Maya. In other words, it is a dream that is never to be fulfilled. Thus, every living being is illusion by the external energy of the Lord. Yaya samohito jiva, as Bhagavatam says. So we have this curtain of Maya in front of our eyes, and we can't move this curtain away by our own power. It's not possible. So only Krishna, he can lift the curtain when he wants, when he desires. So what are some examples of how you cannot be happy in this world? Analogies. Just like, yes, a fish out of water. You cannot be happy. Or just like, yes, deer chasing, running after water in the desert. Yes, or just like, a man fell in a well, he's holding on by 2 twigs, and he's getting some honey coming down. He's drinking, he's happy. Oh, I'm happy. I'm very happy. Yes. Oh, dunk in the water. When he comes up to breathe, oh, wow, happiness. Yes, relief, yes. Rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Oh, wow, that feels better. Now I'm happy. Real happiness. Yes, this is the material world, material life. You can't be happy unless we go to the real water. And that is the ocean of devotional service, nectar of devotion. So we have a comment by Jiva Goswami on this verse. These are wonderful comments today, actually. Jiva Goswami, but for the dhiras, you are difficult, as opposed to the yogis, you are difficult to attain. Okay, what is the verse about here? He is equally disposed. No one can overcome the Supreme Lord's illusory energy. For the dhiras, as opposed to the yogis just mentioned, you are difficult to attain. Veda na artam. They don't know the supreme truth. To this Paramesha, Bhagavan, I bow down. By him are subdued the opulences and modes produced by the great Purusha avatars which arise from himself. He does not see such opulences as higher and lower. Okay? Comment by Jiva Goswami. And we'll read the last verse. Ime vayam yat priyaya eva tanva satvena shista bahiranti avi gatim na sukshmam vishayascha vitmahe kuto syadya itara patanaha. Since our bodies are made of sattva gun, we, the demigods, are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, if even we cannot understand Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constitutions, being situated in the modes of passion and ignorance? How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him. So I read the commentary by Jiva Goswami. Here Lord Brahma shows the nature of the difficulty of approaching the Lord by the dhiras. Because even the demigods can't understand, so what to speak of the dhiras? Purport Prabhupada says, atheists and demons cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is situated within everyone. For them, the Lord finally appears in the form of death, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mityu savaharas chaham. Atheists think that they are independent, and therefore they do not care about the supremacy of the Lord, yet the Lord asserts his supremacy when he overcomes them as death. At the time of death, their attempts to use their so-called scientific knowledge and philosophical speculation to deny the supremacy of the Lord cannot work. So there is a conversation between Guru Kripa and Srila Prabhupada in 1977, Jagannath Puri, about the scientists. And Satsrupa was also there. Prabhupada says, they are all rascals. They don't know anything. Still, they are claiming a very high position. So Guru Kripa made a very interesting comment. He said, I heard one scientist on the airplane. There were three scientists sitting behind me. And they were speaking. They hope they are living in the year 2000. One man said, I become so excited when I think how advanced we will be in the year 2000. I just hope I do not die before then, because I want to see how everything will be then. And so just like Prabhupada is saying, you know, of course, they want to see the advancement of science, but unfortunately death may come. And just year 2000, what is the advancement? Of course, from 77 we have computers, we have internet, we have cell phones. I guess he would be excited by all that. But Satsrupa Maharaj says something. By then they think they will be creating life. They will be creating all these different monsters to destroy the world. Prabhupada says, that any insane man can say, any crazy man can say, trust no future, however pleasant. He said, you are a rascal, you're believing in the future. You have not shown us, because in the past you couldn't do it. There is no history. In the present you cannot do. So how shall I believe in future you'll do? No past, no present, so why future? Prabhupada's intelligent. So how shall I believe in the future you'll do? So any rascal promises like that. So we take him as a rascal, that's all. Now that was Prabhupada's verdict on the scientists. So we'll stop here. Anybody have any questions on this part? And if we can read some more, if we have, we can go ahead. If we'll have questions, and then, yes. Oh, yes, I have that. Shweta Dweep. Okay, I have this. Actually, I have Brihad Bhagavatamrita on that. I have the commentary. I have a verse from Brihad Bhagavatamrita on that particular point here. It's verse 5. It is 5 in this 5th chapter. And I should have brought my notes. So we'll see what the verse says. Oh, yes. Oh, 5 in chapter 4. 5, 5, yeah. Just to please The goddess of fortune, the supreme personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, at her request, created another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone. Verse 5 of 5th chapter. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks that this Vaikuntha planet, like Bhagavatam, appears and is said to be born or created. But both Srimad Bhagavatam and Vaikuntha eternally exist beyond the material universes, which are enveloped by 8 kinds of coverings. As described in the 2nd canto, Lord Brahma saw Vaikuntha before the creation of the universe. Viraghavacharya mentions this Vaikuntha is within the universe, is situated above the mountain known as Lokaloka. This planet is worshipped by everyone. Do you know which particular planet that is, Adipurush? Above Lokaloka. Yeah, I know Lokaloka. But there's 3 Vaikunthas. There's Garbhadakshay. There's 3 different. There's one called Vishnupuri. It's in CC. Actually, I have the reference. I can look it up.
Yeah.
One is Dhruvaloka, and one is east, and one is north. I have a commentary here from Biha Bhagavatamrita. And this is spoken by Indra. Indra says, with no regard for me, he destroyed my capital, Amaravati, and built a new residence above all others for himself. Commentary. Indra alludes here to an incarnation of Lord Vishnu named Vaikuntha, whom Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami describes in 8th canto. Okay, and there is another purport from Briha Bhagavatamrita. The eternal spiritual planet Lord Vaikuntha manifested within the material world is called Rama Priya, dear to the goddess of fortune. It is located above all other planets, even Lord Brahma's. Strictly speaking, the spiritual kingdom displayed within the material universe is never created or destroyed. But because from our point of view, the planet Ramapriya appeared at a certain time and place, we consider it new compared with the eternal manifestation of the same kingdom of God outside the material realm. The Lord may pretend to create it as his pastime, but he is only unveiling it before material eyes, what normally cannot be seen in this world. So it's not Dhruvaloka. It doesn't sound like any of the other. Because I know there's one called Vishnupuri. There's one called, purport in CC that describes all the different Vaikuntha planets within this material world. One is Vishnupuri, one is Dhruvaloka, and the other I can't remember the name. Shvetadvip? It's Shvetadvip. This sounds like a different one, Ramapriya. Ramapriya. Ramapriya, a new Vaikuntha planet. It could be Shvetadvip. You think it's Shvetadvip? Okay. Ramapriya. Okay, any other questions on this?
Ramapriya is the name of a planet.
Yeah, it's the name of a Vaikuntha planet, Ramapriya.
In the material world.
In the material world, Ramapriya.
So there's 3. Vinushvishupuri?
Vishupuri is one. Ramapriya, Dhruvaloka, Shvetadvip. 4, maybe. Anyway, we have to. There is a purport. I'll look it up. I remember I used it in 5th canto at the end of, I think, chapter 23. So I'll look that up and see if I can bring it tomorrow. Any other questions on these verses? It's a little too early to break because we'll miss our Gayatri time. So, any more questions or comments? So I'll read a few more verses for maybe another 10 minutes. And then we can have more questions and then we can break. Because I like to break during 12 o'clock so we can have our Gayatri time at 12. So we'll go on to verse 32. So now there's going to be a series of verses describing how the Lord relates to the elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Let's see if it's on this flip chart over here. It might be on your flip chart here. Yes. See, verse 32 is earth, 33 is water, 34 is soma, mind, 35 is fire, 36 is sun or air, light, 37 prana, 38 the navel and ether. And then it gets into more details. But these, the series of verses, and all of these verses have a common ending. That is, prasidatam brahma. Well, That one's the first one. Prasidatam na samaha vibhuti. I offer my obeisances to the Lord who has such great potency. So I'll read verse 31. Paja mahiyam sakitaiva yasya chatur vicharyacha hibhuta sarga savaya mahapurisha matamcha prasidatam brahma mahavibhuti. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great Supreme Person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. So remember the situation, the demigods have lost the heavenly kingdom. And now Lord Brahma has gone and he's glorifying, he's gone to the ocean of milk, he's glorifying the Supreme Lord in different ways. So we'll go to the second sentence of the purport. The word Mahatpadam Punya Yasho Murari. Mahatattva, the total material energy, rests on his lotus feet. For the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. So here you can have a view of where, over here on this poster, you have the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is where the whole material manifestation is resting, under his lotus feet. Different places. And the sages, they like to choose different places. The demigods, the umbrella of your lotus feet, protecting from all sins. Different places they like to meditate on for protection. The grain, the barley corn up there gives all opulences, as well as the lotus. And so it's very, the demigods are always meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. So the end of the purport. The material creation is activated by the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not a part of the material creation. The Lord exists in his original spiritual position. The universal form of the Lord, Virajamurti, is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now the demigods are praying to the universal form of which they are an important part. Which part of the universal form are the demigods? There's actually three constituents of the universal form. Three broad categories, yes. Adidaivik, yes. Adidaivik, Adiatmik, Adibhautik. So the demigods are Adidaivik of the universal form. So I'll just sing this verse which Prabhupada quotes here in the purport. Samashitaye parapalava plavam maha param punya yasho marare param vadivatsa param 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 yadvi param natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Mukunda, or giver of mukti, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. Param param, or the place where there are no material miseries, or Vaikuntha, is his goal, not the place where there is danger in every step of life. So Jiva Goswami comments on this verse about earth. One who is the basis of Brahman, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, we are now worshipping, seen in front of us. That is the meaning of these 12 verses, 32 to 43. I'll read that again. That one who is the basis of Brahman, we are now worshipping, seen in front of us. That is the meaning of these 12 verses. So they're worshipping the basis of Brahman from verses 32 to 43. May you be pleased, Brahma Maha Viputir. May you be pleased whose great potency is Brahman. Here Brahman has been given as the great potency of the Lord, and now 11 more examples, verses, will detail the great potency of this Lord. So we're going to hear a description of all these different potencies. What else can we say about the earth and how the Lord is in relationship to the Supreme Lord? Yes.
From the earth there is the original fragrance, punya.
Yes, the fragrance of the earth, that is Krishna. Krishna says, I am the original fragrance. Punyo ganta prithivyam me. Yes, anything else about the earth? Relationship, yes. Bhumir, apo, nalo, vayu. Okay, these are separated energies. Adi Purush.
She's very special in the animals because she's a manifestation of Bhu Lakshmi.
Oh, earth is very special because she's a manifestation of Bhu Lakshmi.
She's the wife of Varaha.
wife of Rahadev. And who was their son?
Became a demon,
unfortunately. Even for devotees, sometimes it happens. And his name was Narakasura, the son of Raha and the earth. Bhu. She's Bhu Devi, so that means actually the earth must be the whole Bhu Mandala in some sense. I mean, it used to be. It used to be, or in higher perceptions, the whole Bhu Mandala is earth. So the earth is resting on the potency of the Lord. Okay, anything else about the earth? Oh, she was chased by Prithu Maharaj. Yeah, she was a cow and she wasn't producing the way she was supposed to be. So Prithu Maharaj got angry at her and he started chasing her and saying, yes, you must. If you don't, I will cut you up and feed you to feed the living entities. Very heavy. Anything else about the earth? Adipurush.
Mother of Mars.
Mother of Mars? Oh, really? I didn't know that. And who's the father? Mangal. Mangal. Mother of Mars. Interesting.
Explanation.
No explanation. From the touch of Hiranyaksha, Mars was born.
Narakasura.
Oh, and from the touch of Raha, Mangal. Mangal. Mars was born. Okay, some say. Okay. Okay. Anybody else have anything on earth? And then we'll go to water. Water. Next verse, verse 33. Ambastriya dreita udara viryam sichanti jivantyuta varhamanaha lokayata takila lokapalaha prasida channa samaha viputi. The entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water. And it is because of water that all living entities endure, live, and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us. So we'll go to the middle of the purport. It is from water that all living entities emerge, and because of water they live and grow. If there were no water, all life would cease. Water is a source of life for everyone. Therefore, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have so much water all over the world. How much, what percentage of the world is? 75%. 3/4 of this earth is water. So is that the same in the body also? Say 75% of the body is water?
90%?
No? 95% is water. Okay, after class we can have more explanation on this. If anybody wants to know, you can consult with Satyavati, our scientist, who has studied these things very deeply. Yes, so 95% of our body is water. So how is it that the, here Prabhupada says, or the verse says, let's see what, who says, the entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water. What is this referring to here? Tejo vari mridang. Okay, the first verse of Bhagavatam. But I mean, technically, is there an explanation like from third canto or somewhere? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Even before that, even Mahavishnu, all the universes were on top of the Karana ocean. They're floating on the Karana ocean. Even before Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, everything was on the ocean. And then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu also, sometimes, Prabhupada says sometimes it's described as perspiration. That is the Lord's perspiration, the Garbhadak ocean. And so also from there, we can see the source is water. Actually, another, I'm just thinking also, how is it from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu? How is it water? How is it coming from water? Think. How is it coming from water, from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Adipurush? Yes, because this universe is a lotus, and the lotus comes up from the water, right? of Garbhodaksha, which is the navel lake of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. So lotuses grow in water. And so from the seed in the navel of the Lord, this lotus grew, the lotus of this universe. And Lord Brahma was born, and then he saw only water everywhere, water, water, everywhere. And not a drop to drink. Okay? Anything else about water in relationship to the Lord? Earth, water. Yes.
Krishna is the taste.
Krishna, soham apsukonteya. I am the taste of water. Yes. Ganga, okay. Ganga, we have the original.
Comes from the Karana Ocean.
From the Karana Ocean?
I mean the Garbha Ocean.
Or Garbha Ocean. Or both. I think it says it's from Karana. Isn't it from causal ocean? The Ganga? Ganga is coming from causal ocean? Yes, because it breaks through the universe. It breaks through the coverings of the universe. The universe is. I think so, yes, causal ocean. Ganga is coming. Ganga, Jamuna. We're so fortunate we have Jamuna here. You can always just go and bathe there. Anything else about water? Water. Analogies or references. Nectar of devotion, the ocean. Ocean of devotional service, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yeah, isn't that?
Seven
and seventh, beginning of seventh canto.
Seven, one.
Yeah, right. Water is passion. Sky, I can see. That I can see. I can see sky is ignorance.
Fire is goodness.
Yeah, fire is always compared to goodness. Because water, yeah, that's a new one, huh? Water compared to passion. Why is water compared to passion? It's always moving.
Because it's
creative. And it's always moving. Water, it's usually not. Yes, it's always changing. What a passion. Right, and fire is, you can do things with fire, more things. In the Vedic, what can you do with fire? So many things.
Bricks.
Make bricks. I wasn't thinking of that. Yes?
Yajna is the mouth of the Lord.
Mouth of the Lord, it's sacrifice. You can do yajna, yes? It's pure, yeah, fire is pure. Water sometimes may be pure or impure.
Water is stronger than fire.
Water is
stronger
than fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's how much fire you have.
Yes. All right, we won't get into the technicalities of this discussion. Anything else about water? Yes, Adi Purush. Taste of water, yes. Anything else about water? Okay, yes?
As compared to, for a devotee, this enormous material.
There's a water and a hoof print of a calf. We can see the hoof print right there underneath the bow. That's the material ocean for a devotee. You just meditate on that and everything shrinks to that size. All your problems, all your miseries, yes. Makes it softer.
The heart of the devotee should be really soft and
yes.
Not dry up by the spirit knowledge.
Good. Yes. It's described that when the heart of the devotee is, when he cannot be separate, when he cannot tolerate separation, it's like a fish out of water. So then there's the heart becomes very fluid, like prema. Then the Lord comes in that heart. Yes. Okay, water is worshipped by Lord as a residence of Jamudra. Which residence?
One of the
seven, okay. Not Jamudweep then, one of the other dweeps. Oh, Jamudweep has nine, isn't it?
Nine
islands or? Okay.
Islands, yeah.
Or seven islands around or nine parts, Varshas?
Seven.
One of the seven, okay. Water is worshipped. All of these are being worshipped. Earth is also, yes?
Also,
Okay, water has absorbed 1/4 of Indra's sin of killing the Brahman. And earth also becomes foamy. You can mix with another liquid, and that's why they can cheat you when they give you milk and juice. Huh?
It will be invisible.
Yeah, you cannot tell.
But
you cannot tell.
Divide between milk and water.
Only the hamsa.
Can separate water and milk.
Yes.
But not anybody else can
no,
do this.
We cannot do. Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions on these last two verses, earth and water? Or any additional realizations or comments? We'll go through all the elements, most of the elements, in the next verses. Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.